Go to Philippians, please, chapter 3. I wanted to share with you today on a full sharing with Christ. It's a little bit different topic, right? I pray that by the end of the teaching, you understand everything that I'm talking about. I am also prayerful that you take it to heart as, you know, as the days go by. We're coming up to the time of the year where we celebrate the Passover, we celebrate our Lord's sacrifice, we take communion together in our fellowships, and that's sort of what this topic is all about. And in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, that you may know him, absolutely know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship, the full sharing of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. To know him, the power of his resurrection, and to be fully share in his sufferings. Now, why would God's people, I'm sorry, I got get new glasses, but why would God's people want to fully share in his sufferings? Why does it say that? Because, you know, and I always wondered why it said that, but we'll get to it. So the word here for fellowship is oikonomia, which means to fully share. And the context is talking about that we are his, that we are fully his. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. If we're going to share in his resurrection, then God wants us to fully share in his sufferings. Here in chapter 10, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. You know, the Old Testament covenant, they had sacrifices. They did these things, but none of those things could save. None of those things could make the individual perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no conscience of sin. But in these sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. That's really quite a statement. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then saith he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away the Old Testament law that he might establish the new covenant that we all live under at the moment. by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice that can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he has once and for all sanctified you and I, set apart by what he did. All the Old Testament, sacrifices were given to teach you about what he would do. Every single one of those things was to show you that there would be a substitution. And that individual who offered the sacrifice had something to do. You know, God told them exactly how to do it, right? And I want to take you to Leviticus here for a second. Leviticus chapter 1. It says, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd of the flock. And if this offering be a burnt sacrifice, an entire sacrifice, the entire animal is going to be given. And I'm not talking about just killed, but the entire animal is going to be burnt. Nobody else participates in it as far as getting anything out of it. Other sacrifices, the priest got some. The individual took a portion home to eat. But in this one, it was put on the altar and burnt. All right? You bring the offering and that burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. And he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle and the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hands upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him." So the individual is to bring this animal, a male without spot, without blemish. And what he is to do is that he's got to put his hands on the head of this animal. Now, this individual, God just told him why. Because it's going to be the transfer here. It's going to be an offering for him. The man offering the animal should be the one dying to pay for the sins. Instead, he's going to place these things on the animal, and that innocent animal is going to die in his place. That transfer is what Jesus Christ did for us. If you go to 2 Corinthians, I know I've taught this a number of times, but I think it's something that you got to keep deep in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "For he made," in verse 21, It says, for he hath made him. God has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin or a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Almighty God, when Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, he did it for the Lord too. Almighty God made him a sin offering, the animal, right? He made him a sin offering for us so that we, and he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took upon him the sins of us all, and we received his innocence, his righteousness is what the scripture says. The reason that you're righteous is because Jesus Christ gave it to you. It's part of what he accomplished and did. What you do is not just, people hang crosses on the wall. They do put crosses around themselves. I never liked to do that because I didn't like ever the instrument of the death of my Lord to be the symbol of my faith. I'm not knocking anybody else that does it. I just didn't like it. You know, if he died by a machine gun, I wouldn't want to hang around one of those around my neck either. You follow me? His sacrifice. He spilt his blood. If you look in Leviticus, and I don't have time to look at them all. But if you look in Leviticus, it says with this offering that the blood was to be spilt out. And just spilt out. The Lord spilt his blood. His blood covered us, but it was spilt out. His body was beaten. His whole body was beaten beyond measure for our healing. And these are things that the Word teaches us. And when you and I look at what he has done for us, you and I have to look at it in such a way and appreciate it in such a way and not just blow it off. Yeah, Jesus died for me. We have to really appreciate and deeply consider what was done, what was accomplished, what took place. You have to identify what has happened to you. And you have to believe it. You have to share fully in his sacrifice. You have to share fully, to really put it on in your life and in your heart. If you're going to walk in the benefits, the blessings, the deliverance that has been wrought, it can't just be flipped through your brain. And we all do it. We all do it all the time. We don't deeply consider. Every time I eat, we take communion. In my house, Mary and I, we pray every night at dinner. We don't pray for breakfast, lunch. We don't eat dinner together sometimes. And sometimes I just don't even think at all. But every time you eat, you're supposed to think of this. Every time you eat, you're supposed to deeply consider what has been done. And every time you eat and drink, the promise to you is that for healing, for forgiveness of sins, for a deeper, wonderful, more wonderful relationship with the Father. But it's got to be done in faith. Learning a lot about the Bible is fine. Hanging out with one another is fine. Praying for healing is fine. All these things are good as long as we remember his sufferings, the payment, what he went through and what he has done. He's our hero. He's our Lord. He's the Savior. He has delivered us from death because of what he has done. And I get the blessing, the healing. I think people, you know, we'll read it later on in Corinthians. They didn't deeply consider what was going on. And it says many of them were sick and prematurely died. This is something that is right in front of your face. Like you and I, I don't want to get off track here, but you and I choose to believe and do certain things. And some of us are very good spiritually at some aspects of the things that are written in the Word, and some of us of other aspects of things that are written in the Word. That's just life, right? You know, there are things that I'm convinced of, I got, and there are things that I don't understand. That's just the way it is. And I don't throw away the things that I got just because I don't understand some other things. I just pray for more understanding. But this one every Christian should know. This one every Christian. Yeah, Jesus died for my sins. He died for me. But yet they have no clue of all the other things that he did on the cross and all the other things that were accomplished, and therefore they can't partake in the blessings. You can't do and receive what you don't know. You just can't. So you got that double transfer. Our sins were transferred to him just like they were in the Old Testament when he was teaching about what Jesus would do. The sins were transferred to that animal, and you receive the animal's innocence, I'll say. Our sins were transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for them, and we received his righteousness. You got it. All you got to do is walk in it. Go to Leviticus 16. Just show you one more place there. In verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all the transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquity of a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. So again, it paints the perfect picture. Put your hands on the goat. It's not a ceremony. And you confess your sins and the sins of the entire nation, and that iniquity goes with the goat. Our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, everything is gone. Jesus Christ put it upon him. God raised him from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And you guys are called the children of the living God because of what he did. And every time you eat it says, when we receive communion. That's every time you eat. Deeply consider it. And accept what was done. See, the Exodus, the other way in which it wasn't just the laying on the hands of, on the goat, but they also ate the sacrifice in many of these. And the biggest one I'll give to you is Passover in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. When they ate the whole lamb, lamb without spot, without blemish, when they ate that, they ate physical healing unto themselves. The blood was put on the doorposts, and they were saved from the angel of death. It passed over them because the blood covered them. These are all illustrations, teaching points to what this thing the Lord Jesus Christ did. These are not unique one-time things over here. When the people believed and practiced Passover, when they did it during the time of Nehemiah, it says, and God healed all the people. When you do it in faith, you get the benefit. When you don't know what you're doing, you don't get nothing. You just ate. You know, when I was a kid, you'd stick out your tongue, get the host. They didn't even give you the wine. You know, that was the practice in that church. But unless you knew what you were doing, and they taught me incorrectly, but unless you really had any understanding of what you were doing, you may have been honoring God in your heart, but you received none of the blessings and of the promises because you have to fully share in His suffering. You have to identify with this thing. You have to identify that this is a representation of His body, that this is a representation of His blood. And you deeply think and consider to receive the blessings of it. In John chapter 6, I taught this a bunch of 6 months ago. You read the record. John chapter 6, one of the most difficult, longest teachings that Jesus did. He told them, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, I am the manna, I am the bread come down from heaven. And you have to understand this. I am the one sent, just like, and then he talks about the manna that came down with the children of Israel in the wilderness. They ate the heavenly bread. Well, I am the bread of life. You have to eat me. And what did that mean? You got to completely identify with me. You got to understand what I'm doing and what I've come to do. You know, do we eat His flesh literally? No, again, it's another example. And then 3 months later, He gives them communion at the Last Supper. And He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat. This do in remembrance of me. This is the cup of my blood for the remission of sins. Drink you all of it. He says, because I'm not going to drink until I come back in the kingdom of glory. You and I remember. And we do this, we remember. It's not a ceremony. It's one of the reasons why we don't do it every fellowship. I don't want people to act like this is a ceremony. A lot of things I don't do maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, I don't know. But I've made that choice. You know, being the leader in this particular church. I do it every day. At home. I don't need a ceremony. The ceremony we do sometimes once a year in our fellowship is to remind people of what this means. You follow me? I hope people have understood that through the years. When he said in John chapter 6, eat my flesh, you know what happened to the people? They said, this is too hard, and they all left him. Thousands. He just got finished feeding them. There were 5,000 people. And then they followed him across where he went. You know, the lake. They call it the Sea of Galilee. It's a lake. It's only X number of miles. You look it up on a map. You know, I used to think it was like a sea, you know. But it's a lake. And he got in the boat and he went from one place and he went diagonally across to the other place. And he got there, you know, there was a storm and stuff like that. The wind was blowing against them and all that. You just read the record. And the people, it says, and they pursued him. They walked around the lake. How many of them? I bet you all of them. Then he says this to them. You didn't follow me because of the miracle. You followed me because you got fed. You want a king. You don't want what I got. You want me to be your king and provide for you everything. People, the same thing today. People want everything for nothing. They want somebody else to do it for them. They want somebody else to provide it for them. And if they don't have one guy and whoever the guy is that promises them the most, that's the one they'll follow. Is this not the way it is? Take care of your own affairs. Rely upon God and nobody else. That's how it's supposed to work. Men are men. Governments are governments. If the way I read Genesis, none of them are good. Some of them are necessary, but none of them are a replacement for Almighty God and Him being the leader and the provider and the protector over you and your home. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have the Corinthian church is being reproved, again, for many things. But I want to focus in on this particular part. Because the Apostle Paul is trying to get them to believe properly and understand in the life in which they're living in that day. Corinth was a whorehouse. Okay? It was a spiritual whorehouse. It had gods coming out of the walls. It had the way in which you worshiped the gods that were in Corinth was that you had one temple to get drunk. You had another temple where you had lots of people to have sex with. And you had another temple. Now, if you want religion, then you had another temple where you ate yourself to death. And this is worship. We call this New York. Okay? What do we got? What do people worship today? You know, so it's all about the flesh. It's all about that. And that's what they do. That's what they live for. Let's eat, drink, be merry. And it's literally a religion. It has been since before this. So these believers who believe in on Christ, they've been living in this cesspool their whole lives. And what are we going to do here? I mean, you got a whole lifestyle of heathenism that you've been brought up in. And I remember this. I was a good heathen. You know, I'm glad my heathenism was short-lived. But I thought that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, and I just went to church on Sunday. I did my thing. And then I could be a heathen the rest of the week. I could say I'm sorry on Saturday and be cool on Sunday. That's how serious I took. I was more serious when I was a little boy. You know, but not as the years went by, not as the hormones kicked in. So this is what Corinth is dealing with. Look at chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses. They were baptized unto Moses. See, baptism is not always water. In the cloud and in the sea. Now, when they crossed the Red Sea, they crossed on dry ground, right? They weren't swimming across this thing. So when it says they were immersed, that's what baptism means, fully immersed. They were fully immersed in the cloud. They were fully immersed in the sea. But they didn't get wet. But they were fully immersed in it. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. That's that manna again. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock and that followed them. And that rock was Christ. When Moses hit the rock and they drank the water, it was Christ. It represented Christ. When they ate the manna, it represented Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, again, eating and drinking, right? And rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, complain you, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyers. All these records that are in the Old Testament, the first five books of Moses, Numbers and Deuteronomy and Exodus, and all these records are examples of how not. Okay? You don't want to be living this way, and you don't want to be doing these things, and you don't want to be tempting the Lord. And this is all about Christ. God's given them examples of what to do, how to do it. I want you to eat, and I want you to pick up this manna, and I don't want you to store it, and I want you to trust me, it'll be there tomorrow. And this was about Christ. He was the bread of life. The water from the rock, I don't get it, but that's what it says, so I believe it. I was the drink of that. Did they understand these things? I think they could have, but they didn't. They didn't stick with it. Did they understand that when they were standing against Moses and complaining? I don't think so. But God wasn't well pleased. These abominations in the wilderness really are a life lesson to every single believer. This is whether you're standing or whether you're not standing, is how you line up with this kind of stuff. Now, all these things, verse 11, all these things happened unto them for examples. They're examples, and they are written for our admonition, for our learning, upon whom the end of the age are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. So you can find out whether you're standing for God or not standing for God based upon some of these things in these records in the Old Testament scriptures. You can measure it. You can take out the measuring line, you can measure it, and you can see it for yourself what this looks like. Go to verse 17. Well, actually, let's go here. Verse 15, it says, I speak as a wise man, judge what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not communion of the blood of Christ? You know what the word communion means? Most people don't think about it. It's a religious word, right? It's made up of two words. Common, union. Common union. See, I don't have time for this, but when God instructed people when there were devils and devils were not walking with the Lord, he said, I don't want you to eat with them. You ever wonder why? Because it's common union. Unifying yourself together with them. When they would go to these temples and worship their idols, they would eat and drink. It's all identification. When you eat the Lord's Supper, you identify with Him, but it's what you're doing with your head. So let me go again here. Verse 16. It says, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion, the common union of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the common union, the full sharing of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. If we are union with Him, if that blood represents Him and we eat it, we are one bread with Him. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? See, when the Old Testament, when they would have a sacrifice and they could eat of it, they'd get a certain piece, the priest would get a certain piece, and God would get a certain portion. Aren't they a partaker of the altar? This is what this partake means of the sufferings. What shall I say then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship, share fully with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify not. All things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man seek the wealth, another's wealth, and that's another's benefit. Whatsoever I sold in the shambles in the market, that eat. Whatsoever sold out there in the grocery store, go ahead and eat. Ask no questions for conscience sake. You know, we do this all the time nowadays. Like, you know how they make that? You don't want to eat that. Well, this had not so much to do with how they made it or how it was refrigerated, because it wasn't. It had a lot more to do with, was this offered to an idol? Because the marketplace was right across the street from the temples. He tells the believers, just go to the market, buy what you want, and don't ask any questions. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to the feast, and you dispose to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat. Ask no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake. Not for yours. His sake. That showed it. And for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that which I give thanks. For that which I give thanks. So remember the town they live in. There's idolatry everywhere. What are you as a believer supposed to be doing? Be an example of Christ. You're supposed to be winning others. Now if somebody invites you to the party, they put something before you. You know, everybody's eating this stuff. Whatever it was common food for everyone. He says, just don't ask no questions. But if they come and make a big deal out of it and they tell you, no, this is sacrifice to the temple, to our God, and don't eat for his sake, it ain't going to bother you one bit. Everything belongs to God Almighty. It's the Lord's. But for his sake, don't eat. So he don't judge you in your faith. Because they considered eating of the things of the sacrifice to be a full sharing with their God. So just read the rest of that there. And chapter 11 continues on with some of these things, but I want to take you to my main point here. Verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took also the cup." He took the cup. "And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood." It's the new covenant in my blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's what we're doing. When we sit down and we eat, when I eat, I don't always drink wine every meal. I hardly ever do. But it's the same thing. Right? When I drink and when I eat, I am to do this in remembrance of him, and I remember his death on the cross. I remember his sacrifice and all that he did and all that he accomplished. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," without discernment. The word unworthily is without discerning and recognizing with due appreciation. If you just do it and you're not thinking about what's happening here, and you're not discerning and appreciating what has been done, it says, "He shall be guilty." And the word guilty means guilty. Okay? Guilty means to be liable. All right? Subject to the consequences. Now, what are the consequences? I got a second piece of paper here. You ain't going to get the blessings. Number one. See, when you eat and drink at communion, it's for your healing. Not only in this life, but also in the next. Right? But it's also in this. I've been miraculously healed when I had communion a couple of times. And a number of times, I didn't know, but who knows what God did. I don't think the thing goes on every single time, every single moment, but I'll tell you what, it's by faith, by what you need. You know, people are sick and they don't ask somebody to pray for them. They don't believe that sometimes that the manifestation of healing is available. They just say, "I'll pray for me." Okay, I will. And you can't go beyond somebody's faith. Do I believe long, you know, prayer over the phone if I'm asked to pray for somebody is, I think that's just as powerful as being in their presence. But when you're in their presence and they don't ask, again, they're not thinking what is available. Or they don't believe that the person they're talking to can do it. That's up to people. All I can do is bring things back to your remembrance. I wish my new glasses came in before this meeting. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Now, this is nice, right? To examine, to genuinely consider what's going on. You figure out what you're doing. It says examine himself. Most people want to look at everybody else and what they're doing. Some churches say, oh, you're a sinner, so you can't come to the table. And then they decree this guy can't receive communion. It says yourself. Nobody else's business. And I don't care what your title is. So let him examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, without consideration, without the deep appreciation and consideration, eats and drinks judgment, damnation. Sounds terrible, right? To himself. He's judging himself. Not discerning the Lord's body. See, what did you judge yourself of? Well, the first thing I can absolutely say is that you judge yourself not to believe what has happened here, not to fully share in the sufferings of our Lord, not to get the blessing, the healing. You know, that's possible. You know, if you don't know what's available to you, you really can't get it, right? Simple, stupid illustrations. If I don't know I have $20 in my pocket, I can't spend it. There are a lot of times I'm searching for that $20 because I want something, but I ain't got it in my pocket. But if you don't know you got it, you can't spend it. Same thing with spiritual things. If you don't know what you have, what has been done, what is yours to claim, what is yours to have and to utilize, you can't benefit. You, every single God-fearing Christian who believes the gospel has got Holy Spirit. But not every single God-fearing Christian manifests the Holy Spirit, even though they got the God-given ability. It's the same thing with receiving any of the promises of God. It's not automatic. You know, you don't just belong to the club. You know, if you got the club, St. Paddy's Day, right? It's on. Stupid story. When I was a kid, I thought this would be great. So I go from Astoria, get on the bus, I'm going to go down to Manhattan to march. I'm freaking Irish, right? At least I thought I was. And then I'm going to go march in St. Paddy's Day parade. What the heck? Why not? I'm a teenager. I got nothing else to do in life. So I get on the bus, go down there. And I don't take any of my friends because they ain't Irish. So I go to get in line with all the old folks. I got long brown coats, you know. And guy says to me, what are you doing here? I said, I just wanted to march. He says, you don't belong to our club. You're not here. You're not a member. He says, go scuttle away here. Hey, I thought I was Irish. No, you're not a member of the club. Unless you're a member of the club, you can't walk with us. I don't care what you think you are. You know, when we are what God says we are. We have what he says we have if we believe it. You may have everything. It says in Ephesians, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Do you know what they are? Do you just believe it? Because he's given it all to you. You've already got it. You don't have to ask. You got to believe. You got to read and believe. That's how it works. And it has to go that way. Where did I leave off here? In verse 30, right? 29, it says, just read 29 again. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. He doesn't get the blessings. He's discerned himself. He's not discerning the Lord's body. You are not partaking and sharing fully in his sacrifice. You're not identifying with what has been done for you. For this cause are weak. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They're prematurely dead. That's pretty serious, huh? Now, is this the truth or is it a lie? So what is it to fully share? He tells you. You realize what has been done. You realize and deeply consider. And as you eat the Lord's Supper, as you eat, as often as you eat it, you discern with appreciation what has been done. You accept what he has done. You acknowledge it. And then when you eat wholeness to yourself. You drink forgiveness. You remember. And if you want to put it in a category of one of the Old Testament sacrifices, that's what Passover was about. They were redeemed from death, and they left camp whole. Jesus Christ gave us this to do. Now, he didn't give us much else to do. He didn't say jump in the lake, cross yourself three times. He did not say sprinkle. He didn't say run around the block. He didn't say you can't eat fish meat on Friday or something else. These are things I grew up with, all the rules and regulations I grew up with at the church that I grew up in. I didn't read it in the Bible. This one I can read. This one I need to understand. I need to appreciate. We're going to close here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 18. As soon as I get there. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross, not the symbol, but that which he died on and what all that was accomplished there, the preaching of the cross. It's not the object. It's everything that was done on that cross. That, to the unbelievers, is foolishness. But to you and to me, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. What Christ did on that cross. And that affects your life just as much today as it did when you first believed. And what's available and what was accomplished on that cross is available as much to you today as it was when Jesus Christ told his men about it after he was raised from the dead. These are the things that I want you to, in this, especially in these next month, you're going to deeply consider. Deeply consider and appreciate. So that is how to fully share with Christ. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So we're going to have... Thank you.